Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. We want to welcome you to our Monday morning edition as we prepare for our the resurrection week of our Lord, the Passion Week, and we just give God all the praise and all the honor for, you know, becoming a man and put himself in an earth suit to bring forth a deliverance to us that were guilty in every aspect. But because of his great mercy, his love toward the humanity, God became a man and gave his life so that we may be able to partake his life and live again. You know, I woke up this morning in my time of devotion and actually thinking about that. And even though I know what the scripture says, good morning, Brother George, I know what the scripture says, and sometimes it's just hard to fathom in your mind of how God, the creator of heaven and earth, come down in an earth suit that we wear, that we partake of today, and took our place of justice so that justice of the Father could be settled within himself. And that when he looked down upon us or ministered to us, you know, he wanted to fellowship with us without reservation. He didn't want no drama, you know, as we will say in our terminology. He didn't want to have to turn a deaf ear or a blind eye to make it like he didn't see anything or hear anything. No, he settled what sin did to all humanity. And that's why forevermore, God the Father can fellowship with you and I, because he has already dealt with sin in a manner that it cannot be undone. And so I'm not talking about that this morning, but I just want you to think about a loving God becoming a man and taking your place, my place, and paid the price for what sin did to all humanity. The sickness, the disease, the poverty, the shame, the defeat, the disoriented lifestyle, altered lifestyles that mankind have embraced themselves, and everything else that since the fall, it opened the eyes of your understanding to a whole different life, to alter life in any way that you could think of because of one man transgression. But think about one man obedient unto God has redeemed, restored, and put us back in right standing with God. And forevermore, I'm sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so having said that, I want to say good morning to you. This is week two of dealing with the subject of recognizing the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important that we recognize him, because no matter how bad something may be or how altered something may have been, but the Word of God, it can redeem and restore it back to life. Nothing is too far gone that the Word of God cannot put back in its original setting. That's why the Bible says the earth, and that's why Romans 8, I think 29 or 20, said the earth groaned. It awaited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Meaning right now, the earth is waiting on us to do what? To speak the word, to stand on the word. Why? Because we have the life of God inside of us now. We have the life that created the heavens and the earth. And now that authority of creation is on the inside of us. And so if the earth is going to change, if things that cause any alteration of life, like, you know, storms, you know, God said for as long as the earth remained, there would be seasons like winter, fall, summer, spring. But God did not bring forth the tornadic or tornadoes or strong wind storms or hurricanes or excessive heat, excessive cold for these things to be. No, we're supposed to have heat. We're supposed to have cold. We're supposed to have winter and spring and et cetera. But not in a place where they're out of balance. So you see, that's why you and I as the sons of God have been manifest to do what? To put it back in our area, in our region that we live in. Anytime there's a threat to what excessive storm, excessive whatever, then that's for me, that's for you to do what? To become vocal, because this is where the will of God is for our lives. And we're the ones that's supposed to do what? We're the one that's supposed to stand up and make a stand for righteousness. Make a stand. When I say for righteousness, we're making a stand upon what God created and put us in authority of, put us in a position to watch over his good. And so the only way that God's goods can be watched over and we can continue to do the will of God in our area, in our area, we have to do what? Manifest as the sons. When I say the sons, I'm talking about ladies, dogs, coats, the sons of God, to do what? To look at a storm pattern, to look at whatever that is, and say, no, you're not. In the name of Jesus, I command you not to come here, not to be destructive, not to bring any destructive weather here. I forbid you in the name of Jesus. See, what gives you that right? The name of Jesus, the word of God. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit. And that's why we call this recognizing the Holy Spirit, because he's the one in us that's doing the work. But we have to speak the word. As we speak the word, the Spirit is life-giving. And that's what Jesus, Jesus was born a life-giving spirit. So his spirit is life-giving. It's the same spirit that the Father had, life-giving. God gave life to everything that created. He made man in his image and likeness. He gave life when he breathed into the nostrils of man. Or he spoke into man, and man became a living soul. So man already had a soul, he had a body, but without the Spirit giving it life, it was unproductive. I want you to really get a hold to this, because we're getting into a time where things are changing. You know, new life, everything is waking up. Crepe myrtle trees are waking up. Animals that been in hibernation are waking up. Their young are waking up. A lot of things is taking place at this time, and that's supposed to be, but not in a destructive manner, not in a manner that brings fear, not in a manner that brings destruction. That's where you and I come in. If you want to I put it in this manner, you know, God has called us to be policemen, just like our local policemen in our community, different communities. They are there to serve the communities. When we call upon, they're there to protect our rights. Well, that's what we are. We are like police officers or ambassadors for God, protecting the rights of God's people, protecting the land that God has given unto us because of what the first Adam did. God didn't do anything about causing the destruction of land from not taking place, but he put his same life, his same spirit that's in you and I, that he created it. And knowing this, that the winds will listen to you, the seas will listen to you, excessive heat, storms will listen to you, Cancer will listen to you. Poverty will listen to you. Why? Because it's not the original setting that God created. And that's why when we continue to title this in week two about recognizing the Holy Spirit, we want you to know that you got everything you need. I have everything I need inside of us to do what? To overcome every work that the enemy may try to bring about. Are you following what I'm saying? We are not at a disadvantage. We have the advantage. God has given us an advantage. Why? That's why, because we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Amen. And so as we press into this week of sharing with you, recognizing the Holy Spirit, I want you to look over here with me at John chapter 6. And I'm going to read some of this out of the Amplified Bible. So we'll probably use John as our jumping off place here. And here Jesus then fed the 5,000 here in John chapter 6, the first part of chapter 6. And then Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat to go to the other side. And that's a lesson in itself. And then we hear, we pick it up here I want to start here at verse 22. Let's start at verse 22, and it says here, the next day the crowd that still remained standing on the other side of the sea, you know, they remained because they're the part of the people that ate, okay? And notice this, that there had been only one small loaf there, and that Jesus had not gone into it with his disciples, but that his disciple had gone away by themselves. It says, but now some of the boats from Tiberias had come near to the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And so the people, finding that neither Jesus nor his disciple were there themselves, they got into small boats and they came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, you have been searching for me, not because you saw the miracles and the sign, but because you were fed with the loaves and were filled and satisfied. In other words, they weren't looking for Jesus because of the miraculous. They were looking for Jesus because, again, as he said, because your stomach was full. And isn't it, and in some way, and that's, you know, that people have their hand, they have a handout, you know, they're not looking for you to feed them the word. A lot of times, sometimes they're only looking for what they can get. And there's a time and there's a place to do what, to take, to feed the hunger, to feed the poor, and etc. But Jesus showed them here because of what he did do. Notice that they weren't looking for him because of the miraculous, to learn of him. They were only looking for him because they wanted more. They wanted their bellies full again. And look at Jesus respond. He says, stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes. And notice this, in the using, but strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endure continually. See, what food is that? Talking about the word of God. Unto eternal life. The Son of Man will furnish you that God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God has put his seal, his approval, upon his Son. And that's what we are. God has, just as God has put his seal, his approval upon Jesus, the Father authorized him, he certified him. Well, guess what? We are authorized. We have been certified. Why? Not because of some good thing we done, but because of the life that we have embraced. We have embraced the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We allowing his life in us to speak through us. So we are dead to ourselves, but it's his life in us that does the work. When we speak to a crisis, when we speak to a storm, when we speak to our circumstances, when we speak to death or whatever, it get up, it changes, it does things the way it's supposed to, not because of us, but because of the life that we have been birthed into. We have been birthed with an eternal life. We have eternal life living inside of us. We have life that is more abundantly in us now. Why? Because we allow his ways to do what? To demonstrate. We allow his way to manifest when we open our mouth and we speak. And so Jesus right here is saying that, hey, notice this. He said the Son of Man will give, notice this, furnish you that God the Father has authorized, certified him, and put his seal of endorsement upon him. Verse 28. And notice this. He said, they then said, what are we to do that we may habitually be working the work of God? What are we to do to carry out what God requires? Watch this. Jesus replied, this is the work, the service that God asks of you, that you do what? Believe in, and you may really want to listen to this part, believe in the one whom he has sent, that you observe to trust and rely on and have faith in his messenger. Wow, isn't that powerful? Let me read that to you again. They asked about the work of God, and Jesus' reply is that the work, the service that God asks of you is that you believe in the one. That's the first thing you do. Believe in the one whom God has sent. And notice it, that you do what? Cleave to, trust in, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. That's our part. If I didn't say anything else the rest of this morning in this lesson, this is the key to New Testament belief. This is the key of raising the dead. This is the key to see the hunger fed. This is the key to cause the blind eyes to open, the lame to be made whole. This is the key to storm patterns that may be in our area, that could come up on our area anytime. You and I have this power, this authority to stop it. Why? Because of this verse right here. Jesus' reply is that the work, notice this, this is the work, the service that God asks of you and I. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit. That's why you have to recognize the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, because he's going to take the word of God. He's going to take the word, the life of Christ, and he's going to speak back to you. He's going to speak through you. And he can't do it for you. He can't speak to the storm. He can't speak to the sickness. He can't speak to whatever. Why? Because he needs a body. He needs a body that can speak, that's willing to speak on his own. He needs hand that's willing to lay hands on the sick on his own. See, he need feet that's willing to go so that when we do get there, he can do the work. But he can't do the work without you and I. You see, the Spirit of God is everywhere. There's no place on the earth that you can go that the Spirit of God is not. I don't care, in the most horrific places on the earth, the most dangerous place, the most darkest places on the earth, the Spirit of God is there. Did you hear what I said? It is there for what purpose? It is there waiting for the sons of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God to do what? To manifest me, to speak in the right that God, how God created it, how God created them. But if you never open your mouth, so you're not speaking you, you're speaking him. You're not releasing you, you're releasing his authority. You're releasing his command. You're releasing his truth. See, all this week right here could mean, to me, it means everything as a believer. But to some people who have a lifestyle that are altered, that doesn't care anything about this resurrection week, doesn't care anything about the passion of the cross or the passion of the Christ or whatnot, what it represent. Well, to them, it's difficult because darkness don't like light. Are you following what I'm saying here? But for perhaps million, maybe even billions of people are looking forward toward this because why? It's the only hope the world has. And for those who don't look for this hope, it's because the gospel, the truth, hadn't really been taught to them in a manner without condemning them, without bringing judgment against them. See, the judgment and the condemnation Jesus already bore in his body. So when I minister to someone that's lost or someone that has an altered lifestyle, whatever that look like, hey, I tell them about what Jesus did for them. Why? Because we all live life the way we live life. Because, hey, we thought that was best for us. We thought it was right for us until the truth came. You knew it wasn't right. You knew it wasn't the truth. But because it was all you had in your hand, it was all you knew what to do. Okay? No one judging that. No one is being critical about that. But the gospel of Jesus Christ had come to set the captive free because each one of us, every human being on this earth right now, has a life plan that God has for each of us. And in that life plan that he had, it is to do what? It is to go about and continually to do what? To replenish the earth, to take authority, and to be empowered to do what? To control everything that God created. Satan still may be on the earth, has a lease, but guess what? He has no power. He has no authority. So what do he have to do? He has to use means of deception to get you and I to look at something in an altered way, like he did with Adam and Eve. God says, for the day that you eat, I think Genesis 3:6, for the day that you eat of this tree, you should surely die. And Satan came back and said, you should not surely die, for God does know that if you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open and you will become like God. Their eyes were already open. They were already like God. We were made the son of God on the earth. We are still sons of God right now on the earth. But because, you see, they didn't understand. So what did Satan do in a perfect environment to Adam and Eve? He presented to them in a manner like God was holding out on them. He couldn't do it no other way. And that's the same old trickery that the enemy is using today. He's presenting something to you and I like God is withholding. God is holding out against you. And I'm telling you, and this is the reason why we alter our lifestyle, because why? We thinking God don't want us to have this. We thinking God is not for us. Or we use man in that perspective in the same way. But here, I'm showing you this verse of scripture. Notice what it says again. He said, what verse was that? Jesus, verse 27. He said, stop toiling and doing. Notice it. Stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perish and decompose in the using. He said, but strive and work and produce rather for what? The lasting food, which endures continually unto life eternal. The Son of Man will give, furnish you that, for God the Father has authorized, certified him, and put his seal of endorsement upon him, his approval upon him. And then they said, what are we to do that we may habitually work or be working the works of God? What are we to do to carry out what God requires? Jesus replied, this is the work service that God asks of you. Watch this. That you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in his messenger. That's where my boldness come from. If you want to say, well, you know, you're bold. No, I'm not bold in myself. I'm bold in my belief. Not only that he has, that he will, but he already is. So it's not my boldness. It's his boldness in me. Because the scripture says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. Well, let me show you this in the Classic Amplified, what this verse said, and I'm going to come right back to it. Notice this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, and this is the Classic Amplified, and notice this in verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord. And look, this is part of it. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provide. So you see, we're not strong in ourselves, but we are strong the more we read the word, the more we hear the word, the more we fellowship with the word, the more we study. That's where you become strong. That's where you become strengthened. That's where you become to a place and say, no, this is what the word says. And I live by the word of God. I am born of God. My Father created the heaven and the earth. I live on this earth. I live in this geographical area. And I make the decision whether or not what type of activity is going to take place here. I make that decision. Because I've been authorized. I've been certified. By the blood of Jesus, through the name of Jesus. I've been made the righteousness of God. I have this authority. I have this right. And I'm going to take my stand in the name of Jesus. Boy, that's a bold stand. That's a bold saying. Because Satan don't like any of us to make a statement of faith like that. Because it's true. Because God can't come down here and do it again. Jesus can't come down here and do it again. We're the only ones with a body. But his spirit that brought forth the creation, his spirit that brought forth the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, his spirit that made all things right, it's inside of us. Oh, my. And I pray that when you get off this live feed, I pray that you begin to start using the faith of Christ, using the words of Christ, using the eternal life of Christ that's in us. Begin to walk in that. Get past yourself. Get past this facial thing. Get past this. Know that this is a house that is a provider for the life that I'm speaking of. That's what you're producing. The life-giving substance is in you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. It's not in the color of your skin. It's not in your nationality. It's not in your education. It's in your belief. Here's your standard. It says that you, this is what you and I to do. They asked the question, what we are to do. And notice that Jesus replied. He said, the work, the service that God asks of you. Notice that you believe on the one whom he sent. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? See, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, well, he's still doing it. But it's his spirit that's working through our body, that's working through my vocal cord, that's working through my eyes, that's working through my ear, that's working through my hand, that's working through my feet. Are you following me? Yeah. Oh, man, I pray that you know, I keep quoting this over and over because I really want you to get this. Because if you truly get this, then you begin to start recognizing it's not me, but it's his life in me. And so I'm releasing. See, that's where you have to have the boldness. That's where you have to gain the confidence. That's where your faith has to be strengthened to speak what he done, to speak what he's created, to make a stand upon what is already right. When you do that, then the spirit of Christ that's in you begin to go to work. That's why Jesus said that, you know, we hadn't got there, but we're not going to get there today. But he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit. That means they are life-giving. And they are truth. See? And so the enemy will do everything that he can to do what? To rob you and I, to make us feel inferior, to make us feel less worthy, to make us feel unacceptable, that we don't have a right to speak in this manner. We don't have a right to stand in this. I mean, sometimes your own believers, friends will come against you. Well, who do you think you are? How can you do this? None of us can do. We just all frail people. See, we're making excuses because why? They're judging what you say and your stand from a physical point of view. If all we had was the flesh and I made these statements from the flesh, I gain nothing. Because in myself, I can't. We all know that we were all born with being in an inferior world. Again, had nothing to do with us, but everything to do with the first Adam. But because we now have recognized that the purpose of Jesus coming and his resurrection from the grave is to take away that inferiority complex and to give us a complex of what? Of superiority, which is of God the Father, which is what God intended from the first place. And so when you gain access of recognizing that I don't have to think in this like, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, well, I'm limited to this. Well, no, I can do all things through Christ. See, if he placed me in this area, if he placed me in this economy where we live in, then guess what? We are able to thrive. We are able to overcome. Nothing shall be impossible to us, no matter where you live, no matter what part of the world you're in, no matter how impossible something may be at the moment. It doesn't change the fact that you are man's servant. God has given you and I the ability to do what? We are masters of the devil. You understand what I mean by that? He has to listen to us. We are sent here as ambassadors of God to do what? To make sure that the works that he has already done, that, hey, it remains that way. And it's up to you and I to do so. Amen. God don't need you know, millions of people to make a move of God. All God needs is one person. You and I as individuals, we are the move of God because you have the life-giving spirit on the inside of you. You just got to be willing to understand you are not alone. It may look like we're alone, but we are not alone. When you continue to look at the word, when you continue to think about the angelic host that God has made unto all of us, we think about the power that be of the Spirit of God that lives within, man, I tell you, nothing shall be impossible to him that believe. Well, look, my time is coming gone, and we're going to pick this up again tomorrow. But study out John chapter 6, and you know where we are at to the end of it, and you'll see. There'll be some religious leaders, there'll be some religious brothers and sisters in Christ that, you know, when we start speaking like this, they won't go with you. They won't stand with you. Because why? They're looking and judging everything from their own intellect, from their own traditions and belief. And I'm just telling you. And this is the reason why the enemy can bring destruction and wreak havoc in people's lives because of spiritual ignorance. And sometimes they just won't listen to us. Sometimes they just won't let us in. They won't give us the opportunity. But those who open their heart, those who let us pray for them, those who let us make a stand with, now, I have faith for them and for me to stop whatever it is. Once they see that, once they experience the power of God in their life, you think they won't come to Jesus? You think they won't want to know everything you know about this life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. Well, we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. If you want to hear more of the same, we have a podcast called Grace Institute Online Bible School. You can go to your podcast, your favorite podcast, whether it be Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google, whatever. This podcast will be uploaded immediately after I finish this lesson, and you can listen to it again. And there are other lessons that you can continue to listen to. All I ask you to do, when you listen, share it. Share it with others. If you can just do that, that's helping me. That's helping you to do what? We and I, we're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So until the next time, may God's best and his favor be with you. We'll do it again, God willing, tomorrow. Bye-bye, everyone.